At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree. That's amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get 3 pieces of original recipe chicken, fries, and your choice of side for just $4.49 at KFC. That's a serious size meal for a seriously small price. The original recipe deal for just $4.49. Do the deal until the 28th of April, only at KFC.
Participating restaurants only. T's and C's apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the Pop Off Podcast, which is a little different to usual. You know, usually we talk about celeb culture, pop culture, and what's been going on in that world, but that stuff has all seems pretty irrelevant over the past few weeks, and I want to use my platform, whatever way it is, whether it's on social media or on this podcast, to not only start conversations, but to educate myself and hopefully educate some of you guys who are listening. And this week I am joined with the incredible V. Not only is she an Oxford graduate, she was about to attend Harvard. And V just has such a good way with words. Anytime she speaks, I'm like, feel like it's just a fountain of knowledge. And anytime she speaks, I feel like I can really understand what she's saying. And it's just clear. And if you know me, you know that sometimes I say sentences back to front, forwards and backwards, and not a lot of sense. So I asked V on after I watched her YouTube video, which... if you haven't checked V out on her social medias, check her out at the end of the episode. And I just knew immediately that I wanted her on the podcast. So I hope you guys take away something from this episode. And here it is. Hey V, how are we today on this? Oh, it's Thursday. I don't even know what days it is anymore. Everything just sort of rolls into one now.
I'm good, thank you. How are you? I've just had an exam, actually, funnily enough, so woo.
And wait, well, on the day of recording, you've got one more until you finish Oxford, am I right?
Yes, I have one more tomorrow, and it's 6:30 p.m. I will be a free woman, and I can't wait. I can't wait.
Well, just in case any of the listeners may not know who you are, and if you don't know V, you guys better get to know ASAP. Do you want to give, like, quick biography?
Biography. Yeah.
Good. Okay, I'm glad that we've got one intellectual on the call. Make sure the vocab's on point.
Oh my God, introducing yourself is like the most high-pressure thing in the world. And it's like, am I going to get this wrong? What do I include? What do I not? But just for like an overview, my name is V and I am a YouTuber and I vlog about university, lifestyle, empowerment, and just... all things going to Oxford or high institutions or whatever it is that you aspire to, just like how you can get there. And I do a little bit of Instagram, a little bit of presenting, just a little bit of everything, I guess. And yeah, that's me.
And where can people find you?
People can find me on YouTube. That's like my favorite and best platform, to be on. Mm-hmm. So on YouTube, just V Kativu, and yeah.
And if you guys ever like need motivation, like when you know when you're in bed in the morning and you're like, I literally can't be asked to get up. I'm like always like, let's watch one of these videos. She's gonna get me out of bed. But I really wanted to get you on the podcast because with everything that's going on at the moment, I found that your YouTube video in particular was really just like well articulated, especially someone like me. I literally get my words muddled up so much. Like I always try and form sentences and they come out backwards and forwards. But when I watch your video, everything was so clear. Everything made so much sense. I just feel like when you speak, you just always sound like you know what you're talking about. And you just always sound like you need to listen to what you're saying.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
So I feel like to start this all off, in case, you know, time is a social construct, people could be listening in 3, 6 months, a year, who knows what could be happening at that point. Maybe give a little bit of a background to what is going on in the world right now and what you, I think you described it as like sort of the catalyst, the events which were sort of a catalyst as to what people are now being vocal about.
So right now, well, recently, I think about 2 weeks ago, there was like the tragic death of a man called George Floyd in America. I think it was Minneapolis to be specific. And he was killed by a police officer. He was a black man and he was killed by a white police officer. And I think the crime that he'd committed was something like using a $20 counterfeit note or something. And apparently that wasn't even like his, so really wasn't even his fault. But the policeman thought that he'd used a counterfeit $20 bill note. And then he chased him down, arrested him, put him on the floor, put a knee on his neck for approximately 8 minutes and 46 seconds until he just really couldn't breathe. And then he passed away. And the video went viral on Twitter. And I think also like what's going to lead on to this conversation is how the age of social media has completely changed how things work. And I think if this had happened before, you'd have heard about it in the police report and been like, oh my god, that was so sad. But then maybe the story would have changed to he was resisting arrest or he was running away, or you just don't know. But the video camera showed clearly what happened, and the police officer had his knee on his neck for like 8 minutes 46 seconds and he passed away. And that video just sparked complete outrage. Everybody was so angry, like, how is this gonna keep on happening? How are we still having the same conversations year after year? Like, it's the same thing with Sandra Bland, Eric Garner, like, it's the same story, Trayvon Martin. It just, it's not changing. So the Black Lives Matter movement was brought to the forefront of like global media, global news, and everybody was just outraged, rightfully so. And yeah, that's where we are today. Just everyone trying to educate themselves, trying to see how can we make change, because I'll be damned if it's like in 5 years time and I'm still talking about this. I don't want to be talking about this, mm-hmm. You know, it's not something that I want to do for the rest of my life. Things have to change.
Yeah. And I think the point you said about being the age of social media is mm-hmm. such like an important thing, because like, of course, George Floyd, and it's also brought up the cases of Breonna Taylor and even in the UK, Belly Majinga, and mm-hmm. seeing what the power social media has. Mm-hmm. And it's a point which I really wanted to speak about on the podcast in particular, is people using their platform and the fact yeah. that I don't really like the word platform, because yeah. I feel like Brenda, 18 in Nottingham, yeah. like when yeah. you hear the word platform, you think of like influencers, you think yeah. of celebrities with big followings, but every single person has a platform and every single person can use their platform for, yeah. for what they want. And a tweet that I made, which I got a few people replying to, I basically said that if you're white and staying silent, you are very much siding against the Black Lives Matter movement. And mm-hmm. it, a lot of people were like, well, what is me saying something got to do about this? Or what, like, why does it matter if I say something? That's not going to change anything. But it really is. And yeah. seeing, you know, Breonna Taylor's cases reopened, Belly Majinga's cases reopened, George Floyd, police officers have been arrested. It's proof that these petitions and these donations and people speaking yeah. out is helping.
They work. Like,
way more than you would ever, not mm-hmm. necessarily expect, but way more than you may think with like a couple hundred mm-hmm. followers may think.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important. I think I was talking to my friend Jade and she was like, but V, like, I'm white and I'm a little bit scared. Like, I don't want to get it wrong because my intentions are pure. But I know that if I get it wrong and I have, like, she has a platform and she's like, if I get this wrong, I could offend so many people. I could hurt so many people. Like, I don't want to cause any more pain to a community that's already suffered a lot. You know, I want to help. I want to amplify voices. And I was like, Jade, you can't, if you are speaking from your heart and you are, like, pushing for what's right, you can't go wrong in that sense. Like, saying nothing, it's not good. Like, you've got to stand up and say this is wrong or this is right. And I use the example of how I am with the LGBTQ community. Like, I stand by them 100%. Like, and no one needs to be in the room who is from that community for me to do that, or no one needs to like tell me how to do it. I am unapologetically like an ally, and that will never change. And I said, when it comes to black issues, that's how people have to be. It has to be, I don't care if I'm gonna get this wrong or right, I'm willing to learn, and I'm gonna wake up every day and make the effort and decision to fight against what's wrong. And that's racism. Like, that is what's happening right now. Police brutality is racism. It's targeted and it's wrong. So I think even if people have a small platform, a big platform, even if you're afraid, you've just got to try, because the more that people use their voices, the more that we educate, the more that things change. Mm-hmm. And you just don't know what difference you can make. And you're right, even if it's 100 people signing that petition, it could be the difference between it passing or not passing, you know? So you've always 100%. Got to speak up.
And I think it's important going into what allyship in general, no matter mm-hmm. like what community it is, that
yeah.
to going into it, recognize that there's no such thing as a perfect ally. You are never going to yes. be a perfect ally. You are yeah. never going to be able to fully understand everything yeah. that's going on if you are not a part of that community. And every yeah. day there's more things to learn. And oh, of course, my gosh, yeah. you are going to be uncomfortable like mm-hmm. a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But that's just even like a small taster of the community which you're trying to stand up for, yes, have experienced.
That's what I've always said. I was like, even if you get it wrong and then everyone's like, hey, that's not the word that we use, like, and correct it, even that alone is like, you're making an effort and you're willing to learn and you're willing to learn every day. But the fact that you're scared in that space for like 10 minutes of using the wrong word, imagine being the person mm-hmm. living it day in, day out, you know? People are like, oh, I don't know if like I'm going to be able to talk about Black Lives Matter or my story. Like, will I lose followers? Will I lose brand deals? And it's like, you get to, the fact that you even get a choice is that's yeah. a privilege within itself. Like, I don't get to choose to like go to bed and take off my blackness, you know? It's mm-hmm. it's on me, it's with me, and the stereotyping and the police looking at you different, all of that comes with that, and you can't ever take it off. So if anyone's ever thinking, oh, I'm scared because I don't want to like get it wrong, it's like the fact that you even have that choice of being able to speak or not speak within itself is a massive privilege, and you've got to recognize it, you know?
100%. And speaking of your like point of mm-hmm. I don't want to post my story in case I lose followers, or even in like a more everyday sense, like you mm. might be scared that you might lose friends or someone yeah. might be upset with what you say, I think mm. If you are thinking that, like, take two steps back, you know, get off the bridge, let's evaluate the situation as a whole.
Yeah.
Are you truly valuing a few social media followers mm-hmm. over people's lives, over
yeah.
people, like, inequality in this world? Like, do you really care about a few followers?
Or yeah.
I've lost followers, but I could not care, because in the first yeah. place, if you don't agree with me on these sort of things, then I don't really want you following me anyway.
Yeah, I think it's more a of deep like a spring clean. Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, thank you, you like did the job for me, because I just don't, to me, I think things like equality and fighting for what's right, like you said, it all falls under one big umbrella, whether it's black issues or LGBTQ community issues or disability issues or whatever it may be. Like, it's all about people just having the right to be. Like, that is all that each community is asking for. Like, give me the right to just exist in the same way that like a white male who's straight is allowed to exist. Allow me that same right. Like, that's all we're asking for. So if you're afraid to use your platform because there's people on there who might not agree with the fact that a black person should be able to, if they did use a counterfeit $20 bill, should be able to have the police come and say, hey, that's wrong, give it back, slap on the wrist and go on their day. It shouldn't end in a life being taken. You mm-hmm. know, I just don't think it's even up for debate, things like that. But obviously in this day and life, you've got to present every argument. But I just think it's Black Lives Matter because they deserve to matter like any other life, you know?
Yeah. The whole All Lives Matter thing.
Oh God.
It's like a natural reflex whenever that is said, to just like, you don't even have to think about the groan and the sigh that comes out.
It's just exhausting. It's just exhausting because you just want to, like, no one would ever have the audacity to go to a breast cancer run and say, hey, but all cancers matter. It's like, hello, we know that. That is a given fact. Everybody knows that. Otherwise, what are you even saying? But today we are running and raising money for breast cancer. Like, you can't come and say, take down the posters and take down, don't wear pink and all this stuff because we all cancers matter. Then it's like, you're shutting up people who want to do what they're doing. And when Black Lives Matter is spoken about, the immediate response is, but all lives matter. It's like, okay, but right now, not all lives are in danger. Not all lives are having what's happening happen. Like, you've got to be able to allow the community to focus on the hurt and the pain and the things they're going through without silencing them. And I think All Lives Matter is literally just, it was created just to rebuttal Black Lives Matter and just to silence
100%.
It. And, oh, it makes me so angry.
I just always think these people, when they say All Lives Matter, like, you don't actually think that, because if you mm-hmm. are actually thinking that, then you would be reading the room and acknowledging
yes.
that right now all lives don't matter. It's like, read the room, baby. Like,
I don't understand it. And I just, even when we had Blackout Tuesday and everybody was posting their squares and things and stuff like that, then I see Whiteout Tuesday was trending. I was like, that is literally just doing yeah. it just to be annoying. Like, there's no need. Why are you yeah. posting white squares? Like, what's going on, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Anyway, moving on from All Lives Matter
and breathe.
I wanted to talk a bit about, we've touched on it a bit, but white privilege and sort of me as a white person. Mm-hmm. I, like, in the past few, I mean, I've always been aware of white privilege and how being a white person, I've been able to, you know, like, I've never been discriminated against because of my skin color, or I've never had less job opportunities or university opportunities because of my skin color. But these past few weeks, like, even examples such as dolls in stores or hairdressers, like, there are so many things which you have no idea and no things that you have just done in your life, and you wouldn't even, like, bat an eyelid. You wouldn't even think twice about choosing that sort of thing. And it's just so eye-opening, because it's as I've said, it's always been something I've conscious of, but the past few weeks, actually taking time out to really go into it deeply, I'm like, wow.
And you don't realize just how much of just every single day life it infiltrates. I think when you think about things like white privilege, I think immediately, obviously, you think of things like being arrested or police brutality, and you're like, okay, I don't die because I am white. But then you forget all the other aspects of birth, like the dolls, like when you get baby dolls, they all, like, all my baby dolls when I was younger were white with blonde hair and blue eyes. Like, I, because when we went to the shops, that was all that there was there to choose from. And when you're growing up, when you constantly see imagery of, like, whiteness as being the correct way, you automatically feel like there's something wrong with you, or that you are the other. And I don't think, maybe I was like 11 or 12 when I started to see, like, black baby dolls, and that was obviously too late. Crazy. I wasn't playing with them anymore, but up at that point I was like, oh my gosh. And just seeing girls with, I don't know, afro curly hair in the workspace, that doesn't happen. And when you go on Google and you type in unprofessional hairstyles, black people come up. And just, like, all of that kind of image of just being reinforced, it makes you feel very different. And that's where white privilege, like, steps in. That is what it is. And Jade also spoke about it in her video, when she said when she was younger and they'd, like, be coloring books and things, they'd say, okay, everyone, like, use the skin color to, like, color in now. And it was always, like, a skin tone that's white. And she was like, and I'm just remembering now, literally, Crayola would sell skin color and it was one color. And it's like, what's that telling to a black child when you say use skin color and they can't find theirs? And there's just a lot. And like what you said, university admissions, jobs, it plays into every part of life. Even when you look at makeup brands, and like, until Fenty by Rihanna came around and everyone was applauding her, and it's like, it's 2019 and we're saying thank you for including black women. Like, we are here, you know. And it falls into all aspects of, like, there's no industry you could name that has not got aspects of, like, either not anti-blackness per se, but things where white privilege, like, prevails, and there's no, it's not equal. Like, I couldn't think of an industry.
I just find it so crazy that it's even a debate, or it's even something that we need to be having a discussion about.
It's exhausting.
Like, that Black Lives Matter. Like, how is this even a debate? Like, it's crazy. But
yeah, it's exhausting. It's in all aspects. And even, I think, Leanne from Little Mix, she obviously put her video up on her Instagram just saying how she's felt over the past 9 years as a member of Little Mix. And she's mixed race. She was like, this is coming from a light-skinned woman who's not even dark-skinned. Like, I'm getting the better end of it, quote-unquote, whatever that may be. And she was just talking about how she was always the least favourite, always the one that wasn't chosen. And you see in a lot of band members when when you have, like, a black band member, and it's like, why? What did black people ever do? Like, I don't understand. What did we ever do to receive this treatment in all aspects of life? It's so sad.
And I feel like a lot of you might be listening to this and thinking, and, like, you've listened to everything and you're like, this is crazy that this is still going on in 2020. And as a white person listening, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
It's important, first of all, as I said, to realize that, like, you can't be a perfect ally and it is going to be uncomfortable. That is the most important thing going into it, recognizing that it will be such an uncomfortable journey going towards trying to amplify black voices.
That's true. That is so true. And I think when you're trying to be an ally, like you just said there, it's literally about amplifying those voices. If you don't know what to say, and it's actually okay if you feel like you don't know what to say and you don't want to say anything because you just don't want to get wrong, obviously I'd always encourage you to try. But if you're just like, listen, I just can't do it, what you can do with your platform is amplify the voices, share the resources, like, promote what the black people in your community are doing. Like what you said, you watched my video. If you were maybe struggling to put it into words, you could just share my video and be like, guys, watch this. This is put it into perfect words. So if you can, always try not to, like, override the black voices or try not to white center it. And that's another thing that often happens is someone says, well, for you to empathize with it, I've got to tell you from a perspective of a white person. It's like, no, this is really happening and it's happening to black people, and you should still be able to like express it without having to make it a white thing. So I think if you just can amplify voices, talk to your friends, read books, watch videos, yeah, there's so many ways of educating yourself. And that's the first step, I think, is making sure you yourself know and understand what's going on, how you can be a better person, a better ally in general, and then you can like try and help those around you as well, you know? Mm-hmm.
And I think also adding on, and obviously this is coming from a white person, but don't like go to your black friend, or don't be like, oh, hey, like I've seen all this going on, like, can you sort of just explain it to me? We're in the 21st century. Google exists, Netflix exists, books exist. There are a multitude of resources. Like, you know what, even throw back to the olden days, take a walk to a library and take out a book.
It's true. And I would, and the thing is, I don't know how it's different because it's like a black issue, because I would never dream of asking that to my friend who is LGBTQ. I wouldn't be like, hey, how do I not offend? I would look, research, because I want within myself, I want to be better. I want to make sure every single day I am standing as an ally and I educate myself and I learn whatever terms have came out. I'm with it. I'm learning. I'm relearning, learning what not to say anymore, like every single day. And even if you had a friend who was disabled, you wouldn't go up to them and say, hey, what do you go learn? Like, go. Yeah. If you care and you really want to be here, go and do the work, and then you come back and then you help stand with us. Like, don't ask me. That's, it is exhausting, you're right, because then it's like, am I really about to sit here and like explain my worth to you? Because that's what Black Lives Matter is right now. I'm trying to explain to you in my DM how to like value me, and it's just, it's exhausting. So if you can go and learn yourself, you know.
And I also feel like, especially in times like what's going on right now, I can't even begin to imagine how stressful social media must be right now for a black individual, seeing like, it's because it's, it is like constantly on your feed, and it's so important that it does need to be, but I can't even begin to imagine how exhausting, as you say, it is seeing it as a black person, and like going on and being added that not only on social media but also from your friends asking you, and it's just not needed when
last week
other resources.
Was a lot. Last week was a lot. And I think also something else that a lot of us in the black community were saying was like, I can't believe how desensitized I'm becoming to seeing those videos. Like, when I saw that video of George Floyd, I literally watched it all the way through. But I remember back in the day when the other videos were coming out, I couldn't watch, because that's like, you feel the pain. You're like, that could be my uncle, that could be my brother, that could be me. Like, that skin tone is me. That's me on the floor right there, you know? And now I'm getting used to it, which is so bad. That just shows you how bad things are. The fact that I'm like, oh, I see a white police officer and a black man, I know how this is going to end. And that's so tragic. So you're right, being on social media and like scrolling through, and you keep seeing you dying, because it is you, you know, it's the same community, it could have been you. And it's just really sad. All of it is just heartbreaking and sad. And I just hope, like, I really do hope things change, because I just can't see how anyone would want to live in a world where people aren't valued of any type, you know? Mm-hmm.
And I also think that it's important as a white person to not only be checking in with your black friends, black colleagues, black classmates and everything right now, but also validate their feelings and that, like, it's like, oh, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not just, like, it's okay to feel how you're feeling right now.
Yeah. And I think on Twitter, people get scared, like, oh my God, everyone's tired of hearing it, and everyone's like bored, like, we've got to change the subject, like, it's not trending anymore. And it's like, it's not trending anymore, but it's still real life. Like, this is still happening every day. And I think having people just support you online and seeing brands coming out without being pressurized, just speaking out and saying, hey guys, we stand by you, we've donated this much to help with this. And it just helps you feel like, okay, like, I'm not crazy. Every time I walk into that shop and I'm being followed, like, it's not in my mind. And all those little things, like, they come into play, and you feel, like you said, it feels validating. So it's quite nice that people are like supporting. So
100%. As you said, it's obviously been massive on social media the past 2 weeks, and it can't stop, it can't die down, it needs to keep being spoken about. But other ways which people might offline off social media, and in the forthcoming months, years, centuries, if we will, other ways which you can help offline, like for example being conscious with the brands which you shop on, and that is something that I have always thought that I was, and then I really sat down and thought about it, and it's like I'm actually not. It's I'm just like thinking that I am, because you know I am a person, stand for Black Lives Matter, I am you know LGBT, like I do stand for equality on all fronts, but then when I sit down I'm like, when I go to shop at a site or like a website, I'm not scrolling through their Instagram before I press place order and checking that there's diversity and checking that all like skin tones, all body sizes, all abilities are being represented. It's just something that's not as forefront to my mind as it should be.
It's I think that's really important. I think everybody, like, I think that that applies to everyone, you know, that applies to me, to you, to anybody. And I think we all just going forward, this moment right here is so different from the rest. Like, I think everyone's been saying it in terms of all the other past police brutality moments that have happened. This one feels so different because of the context. Like, we're in a pandemic. Things were already not going great. Everybody was already very angry. People had time. We were all at home watching the same stuff in terms of we were all watching the news. Whereas normally everyone's got their day-to-day life. You're on holiday. Like you can distract yourself and distance from it. But this time we were all stopped. The world had stopped. We were all inside and we all saw what happened. So I think things this time around just have to 100% change. And like you said, even in your day-to-day life, even when you go back to normality, it has to be a conscious thing. If you walk past and you witness something that you know is not right, or you see a policeman maybe treating a black man wrongly, stop and record. Even that alone, stop and record. Because if that girl who recorded the death of George Floyd hadn't recorded, I don't think we'd be here discussing this right now, you know?
Yeah.
So if you see anything wrong, if you hear someone being racist, stand up and say something. Like, try your best to just to always consciously make that effort and put yourself at the forefront of like helping, you know what I mean? So I think you're right. When we go back to normality, whatever that may be, I think everybody has to make it a conscious effort to just do better. All of us, everybody included.
100%. And even just things like, I know a lot of people in the past few weeks have been, you know, reading books which have been educating themselves on systemic racism and like the injustices that different communities have faced over the past, I mean, life really. But I also think it's also important to celebrate other type of literature, like just black fictional. Is that the right word? Like, make-believe, if you will. Authors.
I always get confused with that as well. I'm like, you know the one when you make things up? That one, yeah, that one.
I did English A-level. That should be right. I definitely should know, but you know what? And even things like black-owned businesses and just things, as try and just, like, diversify your, I guess, palette and, like, the width of things that you consume. And that is also going to probably help you. As I said, you learn every day as a white person how to be an ally, and that sort of things, consuming just things like that, is going to help you like so subconsciously in ways that you wouldn't even realize.
Yeah, it's really important. There are podcasts out there like this one, for example, you know, where you're discussing things. Literally, it's important to always like make sure you are making the active effort, because if you don't, we all tend to live in an echo chamber, you know. If you don't, you don't even realize it, like you're following yourself 50 times, you know what I mean? Like you follow what you like all the time, and you've got to make sure you diversify your way of life, the way you think, your mentality, what you do, everything you consume. Is like I said, it is hard work. It's not easy. I'll promise you that right now. To be an ally for the black community is not going to be easy whatsoever, because
it shouldn't be easy.
It should, exactly. It infiltrates every aspect of life. So today you might be like, yes, I've done it. I've got the university aspect of things. Then tomorrow you've got 100 other things. Like, I promise you, it's not going to be easy. I don't want to lie, but it's definitely something that we have to all do. Like, it's really important, you know?
100%. V, thank you so much for coming on. That was so nice to have. And I hope that listeners like were able to take something away from that. Oh, it was so good to have you on. I could literally listen to you speak for so long. You need to start. I just need to hear you speak all the time on the radio.
Thank you. That's so sweet. Now, I've enjoyed this. I've never really done a real podcast before, so this is my first one.
I think you should get your own. I do. I can hear your voice already in my ears when I'm listening to Spotify.
We'll think about it. Right now, I've got to finish Oxford, then I start Harvard. Yeah. And when I'm done with Harvard, then maybe I'll think about it. Because
it's on the to-do list, right below Save the World.
Exactly. Tick.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you found this episode helpful, and I hope that you are all looking after yourselves. Remember to subscribe to the podcast for new episodes every week, and you can find us on Global Player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you may fancy. And if you could feel ever so generous to leave us a review, we'd be ever so thankful. And you can check us out on Instagram at Pop Off Podcast, and make sure you check V out too, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree. That's amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.